and therefore though his legislation might most stupendously refrain, though her tastes are mean and flighty and her fortune poor and plain. Written the very bill for lordship, rend the air with warbling wild, for union of lordship with a humble captain child. A humble captain's daughter.
And the Lord rules the world.
And the tar who plows the water.
Let the air with joy be made in Britain, from the air above, for the union of a maiden with the man who holds her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, love can never exit, therefore, though they're not a good relation in my ship, it's scarcely found. So you occupy a station in the lower world.
Ring the merry bells on lordship, rend the air with warbling wild, for the union of lordship with a humble captain's child.
Humble captain's daughter.
For a girl.
And the Lord rules the water.
And the tar who plows the water.
Let the air with joy be made and written from the air above, for the union of a maiden with the man who holds her love.
Never mind the why and wherefore, not his man ranks, and therefore I invite.
Gilbert and Sullivan, inspired, of course, by Julie Sabatier and Randomonium tonight's Father's Day special. Gilbert and Sullivan, so I had to run home and record that off my VCR. That was a moment, one of those moments from Night Music, an actual NBC TV show. Singing there was Taj Mahal and Todd Rundgren and Michelle Gray. I don't know if anybody knows who Michelle Gray is. You can call us and tell us. With Pat Metheny on guitar, and the weird little noises was Christian Markley playing live turntables, David Sanborn on saxophone. And that show was on every Sunday night with a bizarre mixture of guests, because the musical producer was none other than Hal Wilner. So he would have Sun Ra or Miles Davis or Loudon Wainwright III or Nancy Griffiths or groups from Africa. And the hallmark of the show was that every week everybody would come out at the end and do a song together like that. I'll never forget the time Conway Twitty was on there with the Residents. So, like, you're sitting there watching Channel 8 and there's Conway Twitty belting out this country song with all these eyeballs behind him dancing. You're going, and now a word from Michelob. Well, anyway, it's now a word from nobody commercial, because you're listening to non-commercial radio. It's a word from you, you, the listener. This is non-commercial community radio, non-corporate radio. This is KBOO where we came over and took over a radio station in 1968. And we haven't let go of it yet. And the experiment continues. My name's Daniel. This is The Outside World. I've been here since 78. I have nowhere to go on Friday nights. So they let me come in here and do this crazy show called The Outside World. Tonight, we're going to go in all sorts of different directions. We have a special guest tonight. Wait, I'm even going to turn your mics on. Zaya brought her dad in.
This is my dad, George Ewart.
Hi.
Hey, George. So George had something or other to do with the resonance. You know, we didn't prepare beforehand just how much anonymity you want to maintain here. But you had something to do with the resonance.
Involvement.
Okay.
Severe involvement.
Many of us got involved with the resonance, but you were severely involved.
Yeah. We worked together at the University of California Med Center.
Did you wear an eyeball head?
Never.
Okay.
But one time I was put into a mummy suit made out of gauze and rubber cement, and man, was it hot.
Where was that?
We did a nightclub gig in Emeryville in the Bay Area of Oakland Bay Area. And
in the 70s? Or?
Well, late 60s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was late 60s, about 69, something like that.
Wow.
And I was playing bass, and we did the weirdest show I had ever been in, and I was just glad they had to cut me out of this suit. I mean, it wasn't a suit. It was like I was wrapped up and glued up.
That's showbiz.
That was showbiz. Yeah, yeah. It was heavy.
It's whatever the gig calls for, man.
Then they started shooting a movie called Vileness Fats. That there is a DVD out called Whatever happened to Vileness Fats. Yeah.
You were in that movie?
I'm a Siamese tag team wrestler.
Wow, we can see you circa what year?
I don't know, 70?
Yeah?
Something like that, yeah.
Have you seen your dad in this film?
Yes, he was one half of the Siamese twins Arf and Omega.
Arf and Omega?
Arf and Omega Barry.
The Barry Boy twins.
The Barry Boy twins.
Were you Arf or Omega?
It didn't matter. I think I was Omega. I was the end.
Wow.
Because Arf committed suicide. Not for real, but he tried. He actually tried.
He did try.
Yeah. But the police interfered and
said, a Siamese twin, that would have hurt.
Well, we weren't connected at the time.
Kind of disconnected.
He tried it, and the police who tried to commit suicide on beat the heck out of him. Because he was breaking the law on their turf. So they beat him and threw him in, a mental hospital. And they had to get his brother from Louisiana to come out and get him out of the loony bin.
Wow.
And now I think he's running a country western bar in Oklahoma or something.
Well, but the residents were so bizarre. They like invented weird. I mean, this is the late 60s? What kind of a response were you
getting? And they were very poetic at it, I must add. I love their poetry. The music, well, the music was just jam music, you know. Nobody was trained in music. And
really?
Yeah. They they all fell together. Most of them came from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And they went to college together, and they all had different skills. And they figured, God, with these skills, you know, one guy was an accountant, another guy was an electrician. Another guy was an English major. Another guy was an art major. They thought, we could do something together. And they did. They formed a partnership. Then they rediscovered that a partnership was not good, that it made them liable for whatever debts that the corporation incurred. So they formed a corporation. And
the Cryptic Corporation.
The Cryptic Corp. And divested themselves, borrowed some money, paid it all back, made records, produced other people. Yeah, they did great.
Well, yeah, I mean, the residents became legends, and they're known as the most famous anonymous band in history.
And they love anonymity, man. You look at their record albums, there's all these people on the covers and on the backs, and none of them are the residents.
Well, it seems to be that gives you a lot of freedom, right? I mean, so somebody can't make the gig, so somebody else shows up, or what? I mean,
I'm not sure. It's because at the gigs that I've been at, it's been the residents. It's been the guys who were the original four founders of it.
Really?
Yeah.
So those four stuck with it for a long time.
Well, yeah. Well, one guy dropped out when it started getting a little heavier and international.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, and that was when, this guy had a lot of money because his folks died and he was a millionaire, and they borrowed quite a bit of money from him, but they paid him all back, too.
Because they made a lot of money.
Yeah, but he was on the outs with them.
The residents started showing up in all sorts of weird places. I remember in the late 80s getting up on Saturday morning to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
They did music for Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Really?
Yeah, there were a couple of episodes where there was so much that went into those episodes that the credits went by at the speed of light.
Yeah.
So if you were videotaping it, you could slow down the credits and see music by the residents.
Oh, yeah.
Music by Todd Rundgren. Music by Mark Mothersbaugh.
Well, I noticed that they're going to bring Pee-wee's Playhouse back.
They are?
Yeah.
That's scary. I'm happy about that, though. I like scary things.
It was pretty good. I mean,
it was a great
Samuel show. Jackson was in that cowboy somebody.
No, that was the other guy. Cowboy Curtis was
Cowboy Curtis,
Lawrence Fishburne.
Right. Lawrence, okay.
Lawrence Fishburne, yeah. And Phil Hartman was on there.
Yeah.
Captain Carl.
And the residents also did a soundtrack for Discovery Channel special on.
Yeah, we've played that here, the Hunters.
The Hunters and Prey. And that was pretty cool. I saw that tag on the end of that show, and I wondered, because it sounded like the residents. Well, somebody's playing the residents here.
But what was the response like when you started playing gigs with the residents? I mean, did people...
Well, they were pretty tiny gigs. I mean, we played birthday parties, you know, and played a couple of bars. And mostly did studio work.
Did you start to develop a legion of fans?
Well, not here, but in Germany they were really big at first because people would come from Europe and film what was the cutting edge of music in the Bay Area or the United States, you know, and somebody would say, well, you got to catch the residents because these guys are artistic, they got texture, they got sound, they got production, they got all these great values going, you know. Uh-huh.
And showing videos.
And doing, producing videos, yeah. And the thing is that they produce videos using people that they worked with, their day jobs. So that's how I got into it. I'd go over to their pad and jam with them at 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night, and listen to Thelonious Monk or Charles Mingus or Sun Ra or Gamelon music or, you know, whatever they had on.
I think all of that stuff sort of made its way into the resonance.
Everything. Man, they incorporated everything. Nothing gets left out.
The resonance, the first album that I actually went out and bought with my own money was called Third Reich and Roll.
Yeah? Did you get the one with Dick Clark on the cover?
Yes, with Dick Clark on the cover.
Yeah, they had to pull that cover.
Dick Clark with a swastika. So it was based on the theory, right, that that we didn't necessarily win World War II. That's what I read. And so all the pop music that had come out was designed to suck the youth into this sort of, you know, they did these atonal versions of all these pop songs on that record. Were you involved in that record?
I don't think so.
Come on, baby, light my fire.
No.
It was a scary, scary record.
I was more involved with Santa Dog and...
Santa Dog.
Vilnius Fats and...
Santa Dog is still a favorite here at KBOO on our holiday show.
Yeah, I can still recite the lyrics.
You can? We've all only guessed at the lyrics.
Really?
Okay, folks, stick around. I'm gonna see if someone's still on the phone here. Are you on the air?
KBOO. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Mr. Jeff Kippelman, Dr.
Hey,
Kippelman.
What's up?
Hey, you're on the air. We've got one of the residents in here. We know because he gets a lot of mail that says resident. So
that's
too
crazy. Who are the residents anyway?
Exactly. So how are you tonight?
I'm okay.
What would you ask a resident? He's hearing you right now.
When's the next gig?
I'm not a resident. I'm just a loyal follower.
Yeah?
And participant.
A loyal follower and participant.
I suppose they could all say that, actually.
Yeah.
They were very generous.
Where was that recording studio? It was like under a freeway underpass or something.
You're talking about Ralph Records?
Overpass, yeah.
On Clementine Alley.
And on ramp to the Bay Bridge.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, this Kippelman and I, when we moved to San Francisco in 1983, and I had a job driving for DHL Courier. And one day, I got a call on the radio that said, there he is. We're going to let Brino in. I got a call on my truck radio that said, okay, 221, you ready to copy? I said, yeah, okay, give me the address. Okay, it's Ralph Records. And I started getting really excited. And I said, what? Ralph Records? And I went to Clementina Alley. I found this little, you know, and I'm in my uniform, this tiny little building under there. And whoever opened the door, there was Santa Dog was standing behind him, a little dog in a red suit. And I said immediately, it's Santa Dog. And the guy answering the door said, he looked at me kind of suspiciously and said, you've heard of Santa Dog? And that's where I got my Santa Dog t-shirt. I still may have remnants of it.
Oh, great.
Wow.
It was 25 years ago. 26 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
George here knows all the words, Jeff, to
really?
Santa Dog.
Oh, only the words to aircraft damage.
Huh.
Not Santa Dog?
No.
Was that a version of Santa Dog? What is that?
Well, aircraft damage was the Wiscusa tune. Wiscusa, Wiscusa. Adenauer's golden flowers towered over us for years. Now we need a new excuse. Wiscusa knows the way.
Whatever happened to Violinist Fats? Sonic Youth. Sonic Youth are going to be at the Roseland Theater on July 1st. I hope I will be, too. My daughter's seen him 2 or 3 times, and I've never seen Sonic Youth. Anyway, that's from a new album by Sonic Youth. Rather Ripped. I think that's Rather Ripped Off from Rather Ripped Records in Berkeley. What do you think? I don't know. That was called Incinerate. 03 Do. And, yeah, before that, a little bit of The Residents, because we have some residential guest material here with George. Hey, George.
Hey.
So all these years later, after being in the, you know, or at least playing with The Residents, I don't know how we want to talk about this, but anyway, all these years later, you do radio now.
I do radio now. I do Jefferson Public Radio out of Ashland, but I actually do it out of Reading and then microwave it back up to Ashland and then broadcast it to an area the size of the state of Pennsylvania from...
But not like, in Pennsylvania.
No, from like the eastern border of California all the way to the coast of California and Oregon and up to Eugene, and down to Mendocino.
Before, and you were doing radio in the Bay Area, weren't you?
No, Chico. I did radio in Chico. I just listened to radio in the Bay Area.
Oh, me too.
I was a big fan of KJazz.
Yeah. And I liked Over the Edge on
Pacifica.
KPFA.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Negative Land guys.
Well, they got negative. Originally, they were nice. I thought they were pretty cool. I did volunteer work for them. I read a lot
of children's
stories.
You talking about Negative Land or KPFA?
KPFA.
Oh, okay.
KPFA, KPFB.
Yes.
I did children's stories. I read The Phantom Toll Booth. I read The Hobbit. You know, I don't think any of them ever got played because I didn't do a good job of editing the tapes and all my mistakes out. But I can't
believe they cared about that. We read stories here.
Yeah.
Did you read stories to Zaya when she was little?
Oh yeah, I read stories when like all the electricity went out. We were read by candlelight, man.
Oh.
Reader Allen Ginsberg's Howl. She was a little grown up by then.
You probably grew up kind of like Maya's growing up.
I probably did, yeah.
Yeah.
Similar. He does the best voices. I remember when I was in eighth grade, I think, my teacher actually invited him to come and read the Br'er Rabbit stories to the class. And he did a really good job with the voice and the dialect. Everybody was really impressed, and I was so proud.
Br'er Rabbit and Mark Twain, two of my faves.
What was your favorite story that you always wanted Dad to read?
Well, The Phantom Toll Booth is definitely, like, number one, I think.
Yeah.
I've read it. Well, he's read it to me about 10 times. I've read it to myself about 10 times.
Well, we should read it here on the air.
Ooh, we should. I like to think that I inherited the gift of reading out loud.
I got the first 2 pages of that one memorized. I've read it so much.
Well, I'll mix behind you if you want to do a little bit of story.
Ooh, yeah.
Once there was a boy named Milo. Didn't know what to do with himself, not just sometimes, but always. On his way to school, he thought about coming home from school, and coming home from school, he thought about going to school. Actually, that's all I can remember right now.
I was really getting into that.
I know. It's a great book, man. Norton Juster, illustrated by Jules Pfeiffer. Oh, it's a cool book, man. It's in paperback.
You have to think about all the people out there that are, like, just getting into bed. And they're like, stories are popular at this hour, we have found.
Oh,
through
great.
Some of our callers.
It would be improvised, and it wouldn't be give justice to the book.
Okay, well, we actually have a recording of the Firesign Theater doing Eeyore's birthday party.
That's a different author.
Yeah, it's A.A. Milne. But I mean, there's no Firesign in it. They just did the voices for it. They did it straight. And they did it beautifully. That's kind of a little rare thing that we like to play once in a while. Well, so I still can't find Santa Dog. I'd swear one of these compilations has it, so I'm going to keep looking. But
okay.
In the meantime, Tell us about Kamikaze Lady.
Well, this is a tune that Homer wrote one night, and I just thought it was more great poetry. Kamikaze Lady, She visits you at night. She wants to check and see if your underwear is tight.
sweet. Love me like I love my feet. Sit down with Ezra Pound, but don't forget to eat. Oh, cause a country boy to cook a carrot or a cake. But don't forget the feelings of a friend hard to fake.
Or is it just belief that the evil Thank you. Charles Westinghouse went to town. He found a friend today. His friend was peeling sealing wax as he heard Walter say,
"Love me tender, love me sweet, love me like I love my feet. Sit me down with Ezra Pound, but don't forget to eat. I'll call the country boy to cook a carrot or a cake, but don't forget the feelings of a friend are hard to fake."
Now his December is a cinder, singing songs he knows, but all the words are
Jesus, and please, and boy, I hope it snows.
He buys the bacon and the aching, and his heart is due to overcoats and Quaker oats, and if his wife should sue.
Wanda, Wanda, where you went? Tell me, what you take?
I took the tongue of Philip John and left it in the lake.
But, my dear, I think I fear that you had lost your way.
Cause scrambled eggs were all he let me bake. He said,
"Your trust is like a crust, too brittle and too thin."
I said, "You're full of nigger nuts and look like Ren Tin Tin."
Is common ground not ever found, but please, from dad to son, or is it just believing that the evening steals the sun?
I said, "Your snoot is full of poop, should be in a shoe." And then I said, "Your stupid boots."
Oh, dear. Eating soon points upon and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spelled jail.
What's that, dear?
Eat soothing points of bone and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spelled hell.
Eat soothing points of bone and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spells of hell?
Yes, eating soothing oinks of bone and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spells of hell. Eating soothing oinks of bone and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spells of hell. Eating soothing oinks of bone and bleed decrepit broken bones and caustic spells of hell.
We didn't think you got it the first time, so here. Everybody. Kind of grows on you after a while, doesn't it? Like psoriasis, but in a friendly way.
Psoriasis. He sees the threads, worn out threads, and calls his color true. And calls his color true. And
calls his color true. Well, calls his color true. So that was a little bit of a rehash of Walter Westinghouse, just because we heard one of these concentrates. Zaya was pointing out that some of these records are concentrates, you know, like lemonade. You add water. In this case, you add air, I guess.
Or less air.
Yeah, less air. And we played the concentrate of Fingerprints because we wanted to hear Choo Choo Gum Choo Gum Gum Choo Choo. And then...
great tune.
And we got the rest of it. We're here with George, a resident of Reading.
A resident of Reading.
Yeah.
And a friend of the residents.
Yeah. Friend of the residents. Sounds like a society.
They called me up a few years ago after getting in touch with the radio station I volunteer for, Jefferson Public Radio. And wanted to know if I'd be willing to redo the Siamese tag team giant routine on a DVD, on a video. And I said, absolutely. And then they...
not.
The, no. The deal fell through.
Oh, it did.
With, I think it was Palm...
isn't it?
Palm Recording or something was going to do it. And the rich man with lots of money was going to do it, but then they thought, well, maybe we'll just do excerpts of whatever happened to Vileness Fats instead of reprising the whole country western cowboy science fiction historical bullshit. Can I say that?
yeah, you can.
Movie that they had in mind. And